That was Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. This is on the third day. Abigail, do you remember what, why is it the third day? What is every, what have all the Jews been doing for the last 3 days? Esther commands them to do it in chapter 4.
I honestly don't remember.
No, that's okay. It's no problem. Caleb, your thoughts on this? What does Esther command the people to do in chapter 4?
It's been 2 weeks. I can't quite remember.
No, just 3 days. No, I'm just kidding. Alexa, help them out. Help them out.
Aren't they just fasting? Like fasting and like...
Okay, perfect. Perfect. She commands them to fast, but, and it's funny that you say just fasting, because in the Old Testament, anytime Jewish people fasted, it was always also coupled with what?
Praying, but let's be honest, they have never talked about praying or God or anything in here. So just fasting.
That's right. That's right. Esther is the only book in the Old Testament, much less the whole Bible, that never mentions God explicitly. But not only does it not mention God, it's not like, and came and rescued them, like just leaving him out. It doesn't mention anything related to the Christian or Jewish God, including prayer with fasting, which shows it's the author's making a couple of points. One, and this is a major theme in the book of Esther that applies to our lives, God is at work all the time. In just the regular unfolding of history, God is at work, working his will. This wheel is turning nonstop, and nothing can stand in its way. God's purposes will be fulfilled. Well, and he doesn't have to be acknowledged because he's so great. He's going to accomplish it no matter what. And the other kind of side note here is, remember, the Jews are being owned by Persia right now because the Jews didn't fulfill their end of the covenant with God. They didn't obey God. So God brings in foreign rulers to punish them for this. And now they're in danger. So the question of Esther is, will God still save his people even though they don't hold up their end of the bargain? Will God still be with us when we don't hold up our end of the bargain? And that's the whole point, is we can't hold up our end of the bargain. So God comes and rescues us. Now, so that's what's been going on. For 3 days, they've been fasting. Esther comes in, she puts on her royal robes. And Cam, what is ironic about Esther in verse 2 of Esther chapter 5? Specifically her title.
She's referred to as Queen Esther.
Boom. This is the first time in the whole book. Now, she's been queen since chapter 2. This is the first time in the whole book she's referred to as queen. Ty, why would this be the first time she's referred to as queen in the entire book?
Because she started acting like a queen.
Exactly. That's because she started acting like a queen. That's right. That's right. It's not, and we need to think about this too when we're in leadership. Leadership is not, biblical leadership is not a title. It's an identity. Okay? You could be given the title. Esther has been given the title of queen. But the author's point is she has not been their queen. She certainly wasn't their queen in chapter 4 when she was dragging her feet to do this. But now that she's actually sacrificing herself for her people, that's what a ruler is supposed to do. Ultimately, making the hard decisions, willing to be disliked, dying to themselves for their people. That's what a ruler or a shepherd really does, or a parent, or, you know, a husband or a wife. That's the true definition. When you're willing to set aside yourself for your spouse or for your coworkers or for those below you in authority, right? So it's kind of this beautiful message. All right, Alexa, let's keep going with you. Can you do, I'm sorry, let's back up. Abigail, how does King A or Xerxes or whomever you want to refer to, how does he respond to Esther? Does he in fact strike her down? How does it go?
He held out his, what did they call it? Scepter?
Scepter, yep. So I mean, is that a good sign, probably?
I mean, he didn't kill her on the spot.
Yeah. I think we have anywhere to go but up, right? This is great. Yeah, so she is welcomed. She's accepted by the king. This is a huge, like, the Lord is clearly at work protecting her. All right, Alexa, can you do 3 and 4?
Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even the half a kingdom, it will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him."
Okay, here's the moment. She's accepted. And now we get into one of the strangest portions of scripture. Like, remember Ruth, where Ruth went to the threshing floor and uncovered Boaz's feet, and there was all this, what is going on? This is very similar. This is the moment. Ty, not a trick question. Why is Esther going before the king? What does she need to do here?
She needs to convince him that the Jews won't be destroyed.
Now, to save her entire people, right? But instead of that, Cam, what does she ask for?
She asked for the king and Haman to come to a banquet she's prepared for them.
Another party. This is like the sixth feast in the book of Esther, okay? And to top it all off, Cam, like you just said, not only is the king coming, but who else is coming?
Haman.
And Haman's coming. The worst. Why? Why? So she invites Haman. Also, even up to half the kingdom, this is what's called an idiom. This is just a phrase. If Esther asked for half the kingdom, he would be like, okay, get out. It's just, I'll give you everything. I'll make your dreams come true. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a phrase that means the same thing as that. You are in good graces. I will do the best I can to make this happen, even up to half the kingdom, right? So it's just a phrase. So she says, if it please the king, let Haman come to the feast that I prepared for the king. Now, here's where we get to it. Remember, Alexa, what is Esther known for in the chapters leading up to this? What is she really good about leading up to this? What has she done well so far?
I can't tell if you're looking for being submissive or being beautiful.
Okay. Well, yes, but you're right. She's very cunning, might be a good word. Every time Esther takes advice from other people, how do things go for her?
Oh, they go well.
They go very well. She knows how to play the game, right? Esther is very gifted. She's quick on her feet. She's very wise. Okay. Now, she's not the most moral person in the Old Testament, right? But again, none of them were. King David, come on now. So she has this banquet. So let's just think. Why would that be a good thing? Let's just start on the positives. Why would it be a good thing to invite King A to think about the history of this book? Why would it be good to invite King A to a feast with wine and et cetera?
To kind of keep him in good spirits.
I mean, his track record shows that this is something that he enjoys, right? This is a good thing. She doesn't ask him to go for a run or a jog, the worst, right? So she said, let's go to a party. Now, again, Esther is supposed to ask for the lives of the Jewish people. So why would she want Haman present? Why would she want Haman present for this? What's going on? Think about how crafty Caleb. I thought you were taking a swing. But yeah, why not?
I'm looking.
So why would Esther want Haman present for this? Alexa, are you chewing on something? What do you think?
I mean, he's kind of the person that said, kill them all anyway. So right? I think it's like kind of like rubbing it in his face a little bit, like
there might be some of that there, she's got to be tactful about it. Ty, what do you think? Alexa's in the ballpark. It is Haman's idea.
I think as influential as she's been so far, she thinks she might could win him over too.
So here's what's going on. Haman is a snake of a person, right? He's good at talking. He's good at getting the king to do what he wants him to do. So if Esther convinces him to stop this, as soon as the king is alone, what's Haman going to come back and do though?
So he's still going to do it.
He's going to come back. So Esther's kind of wants, and it's smart. Esther wants to keep Haman in front of her because I don't know what you're going to do as soon as you get behind. You're going to stab me in the back, right? You're going to try to get this whole thing twisted back around. This is your, now, and again, we learned about this. Haman isn't a Agagite, King Agag, right? Agag, descendant of the Amalekites, Amalek, a descendant of Esau. Esau is one of the seeds of the serpent, Satan. And how does Satan tempt Adam and Eve? He's cunning with his words. So is Haman. Haman is, he is cut straight from his father's cloth, right? He is literally a son of the devil, right? And we talked about that in the previous weeks. So she wants to keep Haman in front of her. So let's keep going. Ty, can you read 5 and 6?
Yes. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly so that we may do as Esther has asked. So the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Esther, what is your wish? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled.
Okay, here we go. All right. She's invited him to the feast. He's feeling good. He's feeling himself, right? He's playing his favorite music. Things are going well. Now's the time for Esther to get this done. Here we go. Cam, can you read 7 and 8?
Esther answered, this is my petition and my request. If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and perform my request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them. Tomorrow I will do what the king has asked.
Okay. All right. So Alexa, what? Here's the chance. Here's her moment. And what does she ask for this time?
She pushes it off and asks for another party.
Another party. These Persians are crazy. And who else is invited to the party again?
Haman.
Haman. Great. All right. Here's what's going on, though. Esther is a genius, okay? Cam, who was the last woman to accuse King A of doing something wrong? Remember her name? Were you here for the first week? Alexa, help her out.
That was his first wife.
Vashti, okay? And Abigail, how did things go for Vashti?
Not well.
No, not well. We don't even know where Vashti is now. She's never heard from again. The people of Persia, the men of Persia, have hypersensitive egos. And Esther is about to tell him that he's gotten it wrong with an entire race of people. Okay? Cam, what did Vashti say no to in Esther chapter 1? What was the demand that she said no to?
To kind of being displayed for all of the people at the party that.
Okay. Vashti says no to King A for showing her off at a party. And King A lets loose a decree on all women in the kingdom. Esther is going to accuse him of genocide. Okay. This is a big deal. So at first it's so easy for us to be like, oh, come on, Esther, why don't you just say it? Well, look at what happened to the last queen who just said something, right? And then, so Ty, if Esther's out of the picture, what's definitely going to happen to the Jews?
Oh, they'll still be destroyed.
Yeah, it's over, and now they have no help. So Esther has got to play this easy, okay? She's got to play this easy. Cam, can you read 8 one more time? Well, actually, read 8 till I tell you to stop, and then you'll read the second half of it.
If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and perform my requests.
Okay, stop. Look at how the author, that is the most wordy way to do that. Does that make sense? If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleased the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request. She said the same thing 4 different times, okay? So 1, Esther is keeping things very even keel. Does that make sense? She's not being this flighty, hyper passionate, getting in his face about how foolish this is. This is the language of the court. This is the language of royalty, right? It's kind of almost like a decree. But then notice how she finishes it. Cam, can you read the rest of that verse?
May the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them. Tomorrow I will do what the king has asked.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So according to what Esther just said, who's in control here? Who's doing all the asking and making the demands?
She is.
Boom. No, sorry. I was ready. But no, Cam, read the second half of 8 again.
May the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them. Tomorrow I will do what the king has asked.
Notice at the very end there, and I will do what the king has asked. Mm-hmm. I'll do what you say. So what's Esther doing here? What's she doing with that? What's going on? I'll do what you've asked me to do. Go ahead, Alexa. Is it
that, like, she's trying to, okay, how do I word so that's any weird? She's like making it seem like he's the one in charge.
Yes.
Like, oh, like, I'll do what you ask. But really, she's the one that's like planning the party. Good. She's planning like to push it a little bit. Like, it's kind of her, but she's saying it's him.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Great job, Alexa. He's still in control. Does that make sense? She's making it like he's still in control. She's not asking him for anything now. She's just doing what he has said. You see what I mean? You've asked me to tell you what's going on. So I'm just obeying you. He's still in control. She's not busting him, pulling the rug out from under him like Vashti did. And again, Vashti had every right to do that, but look where it got her. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying she should have given in, but Esther is playing this, I mean, like Mozart levels of genius here. Like she, like, and this is definitely the Lord prompting, okay? Like, it's unbelievable the way she's doing this. King A is still in control. So now he's not going to feel attacked. His ego, remember, his ego is the key. And if you want to protect his ego, make it feel like it's still his decision. You see what I'm saying? And I'll do what you have asked. Esther has played her hand wonderfully. And now we have to wait for the banquet that will take place the next day. Okay. Questions on that before we get into the next section here on the same page? Does that make sense? Do you see she's doing it? So one, she's making King A more comfortable with the feasting. Two, she's trying to take her time slowly. She's keeping Haman in front of her. She's taking her time to where it will feel like she's just doing what he's asked. This is a massively important subject matter. So she doesn't want to crash into him, right? this is super, super important. Also, there are no miracles in the book of Esther, okay? At least even in Ruth, there was a famine, okay? And God heals the famine. In Esther, there's none of that. Like this is, are you guys even familiar with the channel C-SPAN? Do you know what it is? I mean, I don't really either. It is literally a camera is, Ty, do you know what C-SPAN is?
No, I don't.
You're like close to me in age. C-SPAN is the most boring channel in the history of the world. It's literally like a camera in the House of Congress, and it literally just films Congress all day, which could be really cool for like 11 minutes, and then it's horrible the rest of the day. That's what this has been, right? Does that make sense? If I have found favor in the sight of the king, if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request of section 2, paragraph 3, on and on and on and on. Oh my gosh, the DMV, right? That's what this is. And look at how the Lord is using that to save his people. The Lord is working through normal, boring circumstances. But is it any different in our lives? Has anyone ever seen a burning bush that spoke to you? If you have, we need to chat, right? Because that's not our life. The Lord works through these normal, boring, like God can't be in my life because my life is normal and boring. Well, according to Esther, that's pretty big proof that God is working in your life. You see what I mean? That he is absolutely accomplishing everything he wants to accomplish in your life. That things are being done, that his will is moving. Okay, so Haman has just left his second party. He's probably extremely inebriated at this point. And with that, let's go. Ty, can you do 9 and 10?
Yep. And Haman went out that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh.
Okay, come on, Mordecai. Alexa, why is this whole thing going on with the Jewish people in the first place?
Basically, Mordecai said something that Haman didn't like, and Haman, like, flipped.
Yeah, specifically, do you remember what it was that he did or didn't do? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wasn't it that, like, Mordecai refused to bow to him or something?
It's exactly what happened here. Yeah, it's exactly what happened here. Mordecai is basically second in command of all of Persia. And do you remember what's ironic about that, though, and what the king has to do, even though Mordecai is second in command in all of Persia? Remember this?
No.
Nice. Alexa, the voice of the people. The king has to issue an edict for everyone to bow to Mordecai. Okay? Like, it's this massive, it's this big deal because Mordecai is second in command. You shouldn't have to issue an edict for people to bow to you if you're second in command. But he has to. And still, Mordecai won't do it. Now, remember, though, Ty, what has Mordecai been doing for the last 3 days?
He's been fasting.
Specifically for what?
Well, he's been fasting because Esther told him to.
Yeah, and Haman has just come out of this meeting with who?
Esther.
So, Cam, what could Mordecai possibly think has just happened here? So, like, Mordecai wasn't in the feast. Like, he didn't see all this stuff.
Right.
So what could he possibly think might have just taken place?
That she asked for, like, deliverance from her people.
Yeah, it's totally possible. And we're just spitballing here. But, like, Mordecai, there is no Twitter. Like, Mordecai doesn't know what's gone on here. He may think this may be, like, an in-your-face kind of moment because he realizes that it's been done, but it hasn't yet. And that's okay. That's not bashing Esther. It's just a possibility. Because, like, they're going to kill all your people because you didn't bow, and you're still not bowing. So Mordecai, I don't know what's going on here. Either maybe he's super prideful, which could be. Oh, my gosh, the Lord working through flawed people. Oh, my goodness. Like, could be. So Haman, Ty, how does Haman feel about this?
Well, he definitely wasn't happy.
No, he's furious. And so, Abigail, who does Haman bring? He has this little pity party, and who all is invited? According to verse 10.
His friends and his wife, Zeresh.
His friends and his wife, Zeresh. Now, let's hear what happens at this party. Caleb, do you mind reading just 11?
Sure. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him and how he had elevated him above other nobles and officials.
This is like going to a party at Kanye West's house, and Kanye West only plays Kanye West music at Kanye West's house. Does that make sense? Abigail, what does this party at Haman's house consist of? What's the activity of the evening?
Haman talking about himself.
Haman loves Haman. So much more than Kanye loves Kanye. Okay. Haman is like this. Oh, I think I've told you guys this. Cam, do you remember the genre of the book of Esther? At its heart, Esther is what type of story?
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. Haman is a huge part of this. He is now he's a real person, but he is the embodiment of pride, okay? And this is where we see it. And the next chapter specifically is like the height of biblical comedy. Haman is having this party where he's bragging all about himself. Now, notice these things that he brags about. Caleb, what's the first thing that Haman brags about in 11?
His vast wealth.
His riches. Caleb, what's the second thing he boasts about?
His many sons.
What's weird about that? What's weird about what we what? What's weird about that? Or sad? Go ahead, Alexa. Are you there?
It's like he's validating himself.
He's what?
It's like he's trying to validate himself, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's there too. That's there too. There's more to it, though. Think about the two things that we just did. Alexa, go ahead.
He really put his money before his own kids.
He's literally bragging about his money before he brags about his family. Like, he specifically mentions his stuff before his family, okay? And how he had advanced above the officials and the servants of the king. Now, his friends are there, but Ty, who else is there?
You said his friends were there?
And?
His wife.
His wife is there. And he's bragging about his money and his sons to his wife. Ty, what's ironic about that?
She knows everything.
She doesn't know this? You think his wife doesn't know about his sons? Like, she's the one who had them, right? So this is, it's like this crazy, like, it makes no sense. They all already know this. It's probably likely that Haman has been doing this. This is probably not the first time Haman has had one of these parties, okay? She knows all of this, but then we get into this other part here. Cam, can you just read 12?
Once more, Haman added, Queen Esther invited no one but me to join the king at the banquet she had prepared. I'm invited again tomorrow to join her with the king.
Cam, what's ironic about how happy Haman is about being invited? Why is it ironic that Haman is so proud of being invited to this banquet?
The fact that he was invited again, maybe?
What's the reason he was invited? What's the reason Esther invited Cam? Why did Esther want Haman there, remember?
In order...
You're there.
Hold on, word it. In order for him to make sure that, like, he doesn't go back on his word and kind of...
Yeah, because he's a snake. So he's super pumped because he's been invited again. But the only reason he's been invited is because she hates him. You see what I mean? Like, because she has to keep him secure, okay? So he's super excited for all this. And then we get to this. Ty, can you just read 13?
Yet all this is worth nothing to me so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate.
Good. So, So Haman brags about his riches. What does that tell us, Alexa, if he's bragging about his riches? He has a lot of what?
Is this a trick question? Is it just not money?
I will never ask. I hate it when teachers do that junk. I will never ask a trick question. So, if he has a lot of riches, what does that mean about his lifestyle?
Oh, he's very, like, well off.
He's super wealthy. How many sons does he have?
A lot.
He has a lot of children, okay? Cam, do you remember what position Haman has in Persia, basically?
It's like second in command. I'm not sure the actual title.
No, that's perfect. He's second in command. He's the second leading male in all of Persia. And Ty, what does all this mean to him compared to Mordecai in verse 13?
It means nothing to him.
This means nothing to him. Mordecai, who he hates, is running Haman's life. Just running it. Okay? Pride is this black hole in the soul that Ty, has a black hole ever given anything?
No, it just takes stuff away.
It only can take more. There is no way. Pride will never be able to. Think about everything Haman has. He just got done, you know, at the golf club with the king and the queen of his country. Everyone in the nation bows to him, but it's the one guy that destroys his brain that ends up being his downfall. Now listen, Mordecai outweighs all of Haman's stuff, because ultimately it's not about Haman's stuff, it's about Haman. People will commit crimes and they'll end up on the news. And I remember my mom and dad watching the news, and your parents probably done the same thing, but and you maybe think to yourself, how can someone be so stupid, right? How can a criminal be so stupid, or a celebrity, you know, commit, or I just watched this documentary about how Tiger Woods had all these affairs, and people are like, you had everything. Why would you want more? Because that's what pride does. It's not about smart and stupid. It's about this. It's a heart issue. It's a pride issue. Pride only knows how to get more. Pride, what's better than all the money in the world? More money. What's better than 99% of Persia bowing down to you? 100% of Persia bowing down to you. Which is why Mordecai can get under Haman's skin so badly, because it's ultimately not about the stuff. It's just about Haman. All this stuff was serving Haman's ego. So once he got it, it no longer mattered. Mordecai's the one that he can't get to. So that's why Mordecai sticks in his brain forever. And that's what pride does. It just burns the building down. And we'll see in the next chapter, Haman's pride is ultimately what's going to cost him everything, okay? So his wife comes up with this idea. Let's go, Caleb, do you mind just reading 14?
Yes, one second. I accidentally closed my tab.
No worries, buddy.
Okay, I'm just going to pull it up on my phone because my computer's not working anymore.
Gotcha. Spiritual warfare. So while he's pulling it up, let's just go. Abigail, can you read Esther 5:14?
Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast." This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made.
Okay, and again, this is a huge Christ connection in the Old Testament. We learn this from, this is in Esther chapter 2. Remember, there's this plot to kill King A from his own bodyguards, which shows what kind of a leader he was, but Mordecai stops it. And these men are hung on the gallows. Ty, do you remember this? These gallows aren't really, gallows is kind of a misleading word. What's going on here?
Sorry to interrupt, but my Bible says a 6-foot pole to be impaled upon.
Yeah, good. Okay, Will, there you go. Ty, can you fill in more of those blanks?
I thought it was like symbolizing a cross a little bit.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting there. Anyone else? Other thoughts here on these gallows? So this also goes back to Ezra chapter 6 as well. Does anyone have anything other than gallows? I know Will said these poles. Everybody else have gallows in 14?
And gallows is pole as well.
Poles? Okay. Mm-hmm. And gallows isn't wrong, but don't think like Pirates of the Caribbean hanging by a noose kind of thing. You were literally impaled on a pole, okay? On a wooden pole. It was very grisly. It was also shameful. Because your dead body is not buried. Does that make sense? You're like just hanging Taylor. There dying. It's this. It's not only a grisly death, it's a huge symbol of shame, okay? No one wants anything to do with you. It's a small person's death, a shameful person's death. It's not an honorable death. You're not going out in a blaze of glory. Very kind of spit on and frowned upon, right? So Zeresh says, build these gallows for Mordecai and ask the king to get a head start on killing the Jews and impale Mordecai on these gallows. So we kind of end this chapter on this cliffhanger, because Esther's situation, we have to wait till the feast the next day, and the next day, Haman is going to have to figure stuff out with Mordecai and get Mordecai impaled on a pole for not bowing, for disobeying. So that's where we leave things, okay? And this is a great picture of what's going to happen on the cross. The cross was not this beautiful, glorious death. And that's part of the point. Christ became this ultimate source of shame and misery when he was hung on the cross for us, right? So this is where we begin to, again, keep these things in mind. Only the lowest of the low are hung on wood, okay? Cursed is anyone who's hung on a tree, right? So this is where we kind of leave it. I definitely encourage you guys, Esther chapter 6 is like particularly funny in my opinion, but it continues to only get better. It'll take you, you know, it takes 10 minutes to read the rest of Esther. But we will, so no Zoom on Sunday, and then we won't meet again on Thursday the 8th. We'll be back on Thursday the 15th for Esther chapter 6, okay? We'll be back on Thursday the 15th for Esther 6. Questions on any of this before we wrap up here? Comments? Everybody good to go?
Yeah. Historically, do you think Vlad the Impaler, the real one, got his form of his method of execution from that story?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've not done any research on Mr. Vlad, and I don't know like his time period. If he's after the Persians, it's possible.
Most assuredly after the Persians.
Yeah, so it could be. It could be. I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. Cool. It's good having you here tonight, Will. It's good to have you with us, man. Ty, can you pray us out and we'll be done?
Sure. Okay, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we were able to worship you by reading your word and learning more about you. We just thank you for Ryan and his preparation to lead us through the class and to help us learn more about you. And thank you for preparing our hearts to receive the message. And I just pray that we look back at it as we go throughout the weekend. Just allow us to make time for you each and every day, and just allow us to have a good week off, and just bring us back next time safely, Lord. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, Ty. All right, love you guys. See you guys when I'm back from vacation. Have a great Easter. Bye.